also be reading Hebrews 12:2, first part of that. But Matthew 14:29 says, "And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." Hebrews 12:2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." Amen. You may be seated. 150 years ago in May of 1864, the first military burials took place at Arlington National Cemetery. 1 month later, it was established as a national cemetery, and to this day, burials still take place there. Arlington National Cemetery is the final resting place of more than 14,000 men and women who were in the armed forces. It is where the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier is located, and it is a national landmark visited by thousands each year. Tomorrow on Memorial Day, Arlington National Cemetery will be just one location of many all over this country where folks will gather in memory of loved ones who gave their lives for this nation. There will be wreath-laying ceremonies, parades, speeches, 21-gun salutes, moments of silence at 3 p.m. local time, and perhaps the playing of taps on the bugle. As a country, we will recognize, honor, and remember those who served and died in our armed forces serving our country. It is a human trait to recognize those who have fallen, whether it be in the service of our country or maybe civilians in an accident or victims of atrocities. I have a memory as a kid, and honestly, I have a bad memory, so I don't remember exactly where it was, but I believe living in Germany, I believe it was a concentration camp over there where we had visited one day, and for hours on end, the names of everyone who had perished in that concentration camp were read one after another. Remembering those people, it made a great impact on me. Obviously, not enough that I remember where it was, but made it real because it's just not a number of deaths. Oftentimes, especially now, it's just like so many were dead, and you know, World Trade Center, thousands were killed, and it's just a number. But reading names, recognizing those who perished, it brings it to reality. Their names of brothers, sisters, fathers, husbands, best friends. A few months back, I watched online as President Obama gave out medals of honor. Some were for those who were still living, are still living, but others were for those who had died in combat. He read their names, the battles they fought in, the bravery that they displayed, and the sacrifice that was made. And so tomorrow on Memorial Day, we recognize heroes who gave the ultimate sacrifice for something much bigger than themselves, for the freedom of our country. You can't help but swell up with pride for this great country and our men and women in the armed forces, especially on a weekend like this. The same sentiment as a Christian swells up within me when I read a passage of Scripture in the Bible. It reads much like a description of the Medal of Honor recipients. That passage is Hebrews chapter 11, which is often referred to as the roll call of the heroes of faith. I want to read much of this chapter tonight. It's not just an arbitrary list of people who we tell a story about. These are men and women just like you and I who lived regular lives in their day but displayed great faith. If it helps, as I read, close your eyes so you can get a visualization of what these men and women simply did and what they're being mentioned for, if that will help. Hebrews 11:4. "By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks." Abel, a young man, mentioned for simply obeying God. Side note, we often think great measure of faith, and they did amazing works, and there are some of those, but he obeyed God. He obeyed God. Hebrews 11:5, "By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God." Enoch, an old man who pleased God, simply pleased God. He was a vessel of honor. as Pastor so awesomely preached to us this morning. He pleased God. Verse 7, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Noah, not the man you may have seen in the movies this year, but a man who believed a warning from God, and tried desperately to get people to believe that same warning, but was rebuked, laughed at, ignored, and it was until it was too late. Hebrews 11, 8, 10, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Go. Where? Don't worry about it. Go. This ramps up the faith a little bit here. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 11, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Sarah, a woman who was biologically too old to have children, had a child and believed for that promise. Again, Abraham, he was quite the faithful man. Verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, his son, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. His only son, the promised son, that was going to lead to so many people, multitudes of people, and God says, "Go offer him up as a sacrifice." And he was willing to do it. God came through. Read the story. It's a great one. Verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. Rahab, a prostitute, wanted to get out of that life and did. And is named as part of the lineage of Jesus. Verse 32, and what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. As Christians, these are men and women that stand tall in our minds. Examples to us, ones that we honor, remember, and they have been memorialized in Scripture for us. We have a national holiday like Memorial Day to remember, but it must be more than just a memory of one's life. President Obama said in his speech at Arlington National Cemetery last year on Memorial Day, "On this Memorial Day and every day, let us be true and meet that promise. Let it be our task, every single one of us, to honor the strength and the resolve and the love these brave Americans felt for each other and for our country. Let us never forget to always remember and to be worthy of the sacrifice they make in our name." Fellow citizens of the United States, we need to ensure the sacrifices of America's fallen heroes are never forgotten. How? By taking action in our generation to stand up for liberty, for freedom, for what is right. On Memorial Day, we remember, which helps us realign our behaviors or our attitudes toward this country. You may have issues with the political party, whoever is in it, one year to the next season. But thank God for a country of freedom. Thank God for a country of freedom. And so we realign our attitudes. You know what? Yeah, there may be some things I disagree with, but thank God. And I'm going to take action to support and to honor this country. We remember the sacrifices of those who gave their lives and as a result regain a proper perspective of thankfulness for this country and all it means for us. Memorial Day results in a call to action. We look again at the list of faith heroes found in Hebrews 11 and wasn't written so we could be like, wow, those were awesome people. I could never do anything like that. I could never attain what they attained. Or awesome job. We had some people who did great things. Now on with my meager existence. Working at Dollar General. Working at the job as an engineer day after day, doing the same thing. Me programming, just constantly typing all day long. Well, not all day. No, it's not just there to say, wow, there's some people we can't attain to. No, chapter 11 is followed up by, yes, you guessed it, chapter 12. And chapter 12 is our call to action as Christians as we remember and memorialize these great people of faith. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, referring to Hebrews 11, you have all these people who went through all these things, as simple as obeying God and pleasing God, on down to saying, you know what, I'm not going to bow, and they're killed, all the way to those extreme. We have all these clouds of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Down in verse 12, therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, which out with no man will see the Lord, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person. We are called to stand tall, square our shoulders back, run the race that is before us. Pursue peace, the character of God. Pursue holiness, as we've been talking about this past month. To be careful and protective of our hearts, that we don't let bitterness and other things enter in. And we are called to be like these heroes of faith. And we're like, woo! Yeah, come on! Preach it! And we get all excited, and then we sit back down and we think to ourselves, maybe it's just me. I agree and all, but Pastor Phil Godden hasn't told me that he was going to destroy the earth and that I should go out and marshal and build an ark and try to save as many people as I could. I can't really relate. I'm Pastor Phil. I'm not in my retirement years with a promise from God that I'm going to have a child. And all our recycled teenagers say amen. Pastor Phil, God hasn't taken me to ask me to take my son Jordan and go sacrifice him on the hills of Devil's Lake State Park. Pastor Phil, Pharaoh didn't find me as a baby floating in the river in a basket of weeds, and now having grown up in the palace, I have to make a decision to be called his son or be a child of God. Pastor Phil, I'm not a prostitute. That's in a walled city named Jericho, and that's going to be attacked and destroyed by God's people. You're right. So what does this call to action look like for our lives? Let's find out, which will lead us to the title of my message today. We gain a lot of knowledge by those who did things right, looking at Hebrews 11, the heroes of faith, but also we look at those who didn't do so hot, who maybe fell short. And so let's look at an account of a man that just blows my mind. He was called out for having little faith, but through his story, we can get some perspective for our lives and how God is calling us to act. God put this story on my heart a few weeks ago, and then Brother Brian Regnard actually referenced it and spoke about it last Sunday in our hyphen service. And I believe God's obviously wanting us to examine this and how it can apply to us. Matthew 14, starting in verse 22. You want to turn and follow along while I drink some water, that'd be awesome. It says, and straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Keep in mind, this was a storm where waves were crashing over the side of the boat. It says tossed with waves. I'm sure Matthew, the former tax collector, was, you know, the geek of the bunch. I'm sure he was, you know, over the side of the boat puking up his lunch, the loaves and fishes that they had just ate on the mountainside. I'm sure he was having a hard time, but for the most part, the disciples were fishermen and used to the sea. Though it was, you know, a bad storm that they were in familiar territory. They had most likely gone through a storm like this when they were fishing back when they were fishermen. Yes, it was bad weather, but they'd been fishermen. Though a crazy storm, most of them probably were feeling okay, feeling secure. Yeah, it's bad, but we're going to make it to the other side. We've done this before. Matthew 14:25, reading on. And in the fourth watch of the night, middle of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a spirit." They cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. So here it is, Phil's paraphrase. Bad weather in a boat, not feeling necessarily afraid of the weather as fishermen, but wishing they had left the next morning instead of the middle of the night. They see Jesus walking on the water. Freaked them out. Totally understandable. As Brian so eloquently put last week, totally understandable how that would probably freak anybody out. But Jesus calms them, saying, "God, it's just me. Don't worry, man. It's me." You know, in his Jamaican accent. I'm sure he had one. As Pastor said this morning, Peter was a very impetuous person. And I'm sure he spoke without thinking in this case and was like, "Dude, Jesus, if that's you, if that's really you, tell me to come and I will." And so Jesus said, "Yeah, come on out." And it was probably one of those moments that Peter was like, "Ooh, did I just really just say that? I was joking." But then again, I see Peter a little like a Noah Strand or a Jason Brost. And just like, "Yes, come on, jump in, let's go. Everyone go." And, you know, me, the geek, and Matthew, the tax collector, like, "You are crazy." Peter jumps and starts walking on the water. And as Brian said, there was probably sharks. There's probably pirates around, just craziness. But you need to get the message if it was recorded last week. It was funny. But then it hits him what he was doing. He sees the storm about him and begins to sink, needing Jesus to pull him up and get him to the boat to safety. You know, he probably stepped out and was just like, "That's awesome. Yes, Jesus." And then his logic kicks in. You know, you can't walk on water. Naturally, you can't walk on water. I saw a show once, I think it was a Mythbusters, that they saw some video of this guy running on water. And so they were like, you know, it's probably fabricated, but we're going to prove it. And Mythbusters is a show where they scientifically try to prove or disprove things and bust myths. And so they actually try to run, and it wasn't walking on water, it wasn't referencing the Bible, but it was referencing running on water. And so they tried, and maybe if we go faster, maybe if we use these kind of shoes, maybe if we have an apparatus. And the conclusion was you can't do it. Your foot hits water, and it goes down. And so that probably, you know, a couple steps, and then it was like, wait a minute, this is not supposed to be happening. And Peter begins to, actually, I'm a fisherman, I know water, and this is not supposed to be happening. I had an interesting thought when reading this story. The weather didn't change. It wasn't like Peter got out of the boat and then all of a sudden the waves started crashing and the wind started blowing. The weather was already bad. Things were not looking good storm-wise. But again, Peter, as a fisherman, was in his comfort zone. in the midst of his storm. You see, some folks go through storms, or they're facing pressures in life, or they're dealing with addiction, substance abuse, and yet they don't step out. Why? Because they're in their boat. And yes, it's going crazy, but you know what? I'm comfortable managing it this way. Life never changes. Life never improves. And they're always facing the storm, but they never step out into the storm. Why? Because they're in their comfort zone dealing with the storm. It's okay. And some people are always financially having issues. Yet they don't ever take, why? Because I'll just deal it with it this way. Credit cards or however you want to do it. Some people just deal with their addictions. Just like, well, I'll just go to another meeting and it'll make me feel better. And yeah, I can do it. And it's just a cycle and cycle and cycle. And the storm is always there. But they're in their comfort zone. The only difference was that Peter was no longer in a place of control. In the boat, as a fisherman, he can control where the boat goes. And to obviously some storms, you have to let it go. But as a fisherman, you know how to control a boat. And you know what to do in a storm and how to. And so he's in control. But now he's in the sea, walking on water, and no longer in a place where he has the skills to manage the waves, the wind, or get by or weather the storm. Peter just came face to face with the storm as he followed God's calling, and he stepped out of his comfort zone. John Acuff, in the book Start, I began reading this past week. In the end of chapter 1, he makes a statement, regardless of your age or station in life, it all comes down to one simple truth. You just have to start. We need to be like Peter, and when God says, come on out here, we've got to step out of the boat. Hebrews 12, 1, 2, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The Bible says Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. I don't see where it says he's the starter of our faith. I don't see where he's the starter of our faith. We are the starter. If we get out of the boat in the midst of our situation to walk towards Jesus despite the storm, we are then allowing him to become the author and write the script for how things will turn out in that situation. There was no way that Peter was going to walk on water with all the laws of gravity, water, etc. But he activated his faith. He made the choice to start, and God took the pen and started writing. Yep, walk on water. Writing the continuation after that first step. You see, some people are they just want God to, like, I wish God would just push me overboard so I don't have to make that decision. God, be the starter of my faith. That's not going to happen. If you want change in your life, you have to start. And the fear, though, that comes with starting is that, well, if I start, then I have to do this, and I got to do. No, the Bible says, if you're the starter, I will be the author and start writing once you take that first step. Stop worrying about all the future and how you have to manage past one step. Take one step. And then God say, no, take another step. And you take and he'll begin to author it. And you know what? He's going to finish it too. Not just an author and say, okay, see ya, have fun. You got kind of chapters 2 and 5 through 5 going, and I'm going to let you finish this. No, he's the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if you're in a financial mess right now, the comfort zone would be to say, I can't spare a dime on anything. I'll weather this storm in my boat, not giving a thing because I can't afford to give. And Jesus is standing there, and he says through his word, step out of your boat and pay your tithes. 10%, God? That does not make sense. This is my comfort zone in my boat. And yes, I have this storm around, but you know what? I'm comfortable here. And yes, I've got a ton of debt, and I owe people, and people are calling me and say, where's my money? And all this stuff, collectors are calling. But you know what? I can manage this existence, and I'm okay with it. Pay my tithes? No. No, It doesn't make sense to give 10% of my income away and expect to survive the storm. I've got bills. God's saying, take a step. You've got addiction or problems in your life. God is calling. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Your boat says, I'll get some treatment class or counseling or weather this, I'll just get by. But Jesus is standing there saying, step out of your boat in the midst of your storm of substance abuse, because I've come to set the captive free. He's not going to make you free unless you say, you know what, God, I want to be free. And boom, I'm stepping out of this boat. Doesn't make sense to me, God, that giving my heart to you, Jesus, would solve this addiction I've had for years. But yet it does. If you take that step, he'll say, all right, let's start writing. So-and-so just said, I want to go with Jesus. Maybe in the midst of this chaotic world, God is calling you to a higher level of ministry. And you say, I'm comfortable here, God. I'm involved. Help out a touch twice. You know, I help in this class or in this area of ministry or do this. And great, praise God. But what if God is saying in this chaotic world, you know, I need someone just like you with your personality, with your skill set to step out of the boat and go farther in me. You look at the heroes of faith we listed. You look at Peter, and you can see that they stepped out of their boat. They took the first step. And then another, and then another. God writing and adding to the life story along the way. So what was Peter's mistake? I think it took great faith on his part to step out of the boat. Don't know if I would. Not that crazy. But that's not all we have to do. Very familiar to us, the story of Peter simply took his eyes off Jesus and started looking at his surroundings and what the human mind can imagine is possible. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus when he calls us. There's an old song that says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So many have taken a step toward God, or in greater ministry, or a change in their life, but then get their eyes off Jesus. They make it about their efforts and say, you know what? Yeah, I'm making an impact. God, thanks. Thanks for helping me out. I'll take the pen back. Brother Dan Powell preached an amazing message about being the author and taking the pen. Oh, what a memory. It was a great message. But, you know, I'll take the pen back, God. I'll take the pen back, God, and start writing. And what happens? You take your eyes off Jesus. And then it's just like, wait a minute. Okay. You start thinking how really feeble you on your own are. If that's proper grammar. Grammar Nazis. You know, whatever I just said. You start to look at yourself and say, you know what? I really can't do this on my own. And then you keep trying on your own. And yes, you will start to sink. You know what, if you've tried and said, you know what, I'm going to give my heart to Jesus and let him take care of this substance abuse problem. And then you go a few months and it's just like, woo, God is real. Thanks, God. I don't need to come to church anymore. I got this. You start taking your eyes off Jesus. So if you're in that place, don't be discouraged. Just take that step again and determine in your mind, you know what, this time I'm looking at Jesus the whole time. I'm not going to try on my own. Hallelujah. When we are surrounded by the storms of life and Jesus calls us to take a step, we should just zero in on Jesus and allow everything else, the storms around us, the things of this world, the cultural norms, what our friends think, what our family thinks, what everyone is doing, let it grow dim while we keep our eyes on Jesus. This Memorial Day, we should reflect, adjust, and take action because of those who have passed on before us. And as we reflect and remember those who have spiritually walked before us, we need to take action. Two simple concepts and the title of my message tonight, step out of your boat and keep your eyes on Jesus. If you would stand as the musicians come. Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands to the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Where are you at tonight? Maybe it's not a storm where you feel like, man, I'm just, life is crazy. Maybe it's just, Something's stirring. Maybe it's the chaoticness of this world. Maybe it is something in your life that is just crazy. Every day you wake up, this is crazy. You go to bed at night, nothing ever changes. I encourage you to take a step. Take a step tonight. Wherever you are at in life, whatever you are at in ministry, wherever you are at with the Lord, God is saying, come on out. Come on out. You want me to come, Jesus? I'll ask the question for you. God, you want them to come? Come on out. Just like Peter, come on out. Take that step. If you've taken that step times before and you've gotten your eyes off Jesus, you need to just say, you know what, God, I'm taking the step and I'm keeping them on you, God. Maybe you've gone astray and your focus has changed. Get your eyes on Jesus again. Take that next step, God. God, write my story. God, take the pen out of my hands. Won't you come tonight as they begin singing? Step out of your boat. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Step out of your boat and keep your eyes on Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. If you have a physical need that you need to be prayed for, I encourage you to step out of your boat. Oh, but I've tried that before. Step out of your boat tonight. God is here to meet your physical need. I encourage you to come on your left side up here. A minister will pray with you. If you're dealing with an addiction or a substance abuse or a financial situation or something in life that is just, I just can't get over this, God. I'm managing it in my boat. Come to the middle. Step out of your boat. Step out of your boat. If you've never received the Holy Ghost, you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, never started that walk with the Lord, step out of your boat. Come up to the right side. We'll pray with you because God has something great for your life, for your family's life. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus.